Today we're talking about improving the odds. There was a hospital administrator who was startled to see a patient fleeing down the hall out of the operating room, his loose hospital gown flowing in the breeze behind him. He stopped the patient and said, "Do you mind telling me why you ran away from the operating room?" The patient looked at him with startled eyes and said, "It was because of what the nurse said." The administrator said, "Oh, what did she say?" She said, "Be brave and appendectomy, yes. All right. I tried practicing that, but you can see it didn't work. It's quite simple." The administrator said, "Well, so what? It is quite simple. I would think that what she said would be comforting to you." The patient said, "The nurse wasn't talking to me. She was talking to the doctor." So we defined fear as this. It's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. We talked also about fear is an anxious feeling caused by anticipation of some imagined event or experience. So I think they're still trying to find my PowerPoint. Right? We should be further along on the PowerPoint. Next. All right. Okay. 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear and timidity." We talked about phobias last week. "But of power, love, and self-discipline." So according to 2 Timothy 1 and Genesis chapter 3, we found out that fear is not from God's spirit. We also found out it was not created originally in the spirit of man, but it was introduced by the serpent in the garden. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says the serpent is who? The devil. And so we know that the devil is the author of fear. So what do we do with fear? There are only two logical options. We said elimination was not one of them. The only way that you're going to eliminate fear out of your life is to die. All right? So we are either going to be mastered or we are going to master fear in our life. And last week I shared a little bit about some of my phobias. And I encouraged you to begin to pray that God would help you identify some of the fears in your life that have hindered you from receiving the fullness of God's power and blessing in your life. So we're going to read a story today about a woman who pushed past her fears and acquired a healing that she desperately wanted and needed in her life. And so we're going to go to Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 21. It says, "When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live.' So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, 'If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.' Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, 'Who touched me?' 'You see the people crowding against you,' his disciples answered, 'and yet you ask, who touched me?' But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.'" Father, we are so glad, Lord, that we have these stories in the Bible that encourage us, that build faith within us, Lord, that are examples of how people reached out to you and you reached out to them. And I'm praying here today, Lord, that there are fears, there are things that are going on in our life, Father, that we have not been able to overcome. And I'm praying today, Father, that you will plant a seed, that you will water the seed, that you will bring to harvest, fruitation, Lord, those things that you have already planted in their hearts and their lives. That, Lord, you've called us to a place of victory, a place of healing, a place of wholeness, a place of maturity. And I'm praying, Father, that we begin to deal with the fears that hold us back from reaching our potential in you. And I'm asking in Jesus' name, God, minister, Holy Spirit, only like you can minister. And I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I believe we would all like to improve the odds of receiving what we need from the Lord. There are many people that are stifled and enslaved by fear and fall short of the abundant life that I believe that God promises us in his word. And we know John 10:10, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And a lot of times, he doesn't even have to get past the first part because he's stealing, I believe, a lot of the blessings that God has for us from us. I believe he's taking that word and stealing that word out of us that we don't receive what he has promised. And so, but John 10:10, I believe there's a scripture. Yes? All right. You're following me, right? Amen. All right. But we know that Jesus comes to do what? To give us life and more life abundantly, right? Life that he has really desired for us to walk in. So what did this woman do that enabled her to push past her fears and acquire the healing that she desperately wanted? So we're going to look at it here this morning. Number one, desperation motivates you to action. So as we look at the scripture here today, we see that desperation was something that drove her to Jesus. And if desperation determines our attitudes, then our attitudes determine our actions. And so it's by your attitude whether you push in or you stop and stay stuck. John Maxwell says this. He says, our attitude is the primary force that will determine whether we succeed or fail. So I don't want to put it all on us, but we got to realize that Jesus did everything he could leading up to the cross, right? On the cross, he said, it is finished, right? The work that he did, the work that he has made available to each one of us was finished on that day. So our attitude is the primary force that will determine whether we are successful or a failure. For some, attitude presents a difficulty in every opportunity. For others, it presents an opportunity in every difficulty. Some climb with a positive attitude, while others fall with a negative perspective. The very fact that attitude makes some while breaking others is significant enough for us to explore its importance. So it is important today to look at the attitude of this woman here this morning, because she did receive something from Jesus Christ. So the woman in our story had plenty of opportunities to worry, to be fearful. As we look at the story here today, we begin to look at her life. She dealt with internal bleeding, whether it was something from her intestines, whether it was a woman issue, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But for 12 years, she had been dealing with internal bleeding. That's a long time to be dealing with an issue in your body, especially dealing with your blood. And she went to doctors, it says here. And I don't know how well-informed doctors were back then, but I can imagine back then they experimented. There was probably a lot of folk remedies that they tried out on the individuals that came to them. We see that she had financial hardship, that she had, we don't know her financial standing when all this began, but when we pick up in the story here, we find out that it says she had spent everything that she had on these doctors to get well. And so we see that she probably, no doubt, suffered from the remedies. How many know? Some of you are on medication, and some of those medications, what, have side effects. And so we understand probably in this story, most of us have watched ads on TV for medicines that help a certain thing, and then they go on at the end and say, but it may cause this, 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 and 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 this, right? So we know that sometimes the cure is worse than the illness, right? And so just kind of put it out there that this woman is at the hand of these doctors and they're experimenting on her. And so no doubt, she not only has a blood issue, she probably has some other issues as well. But the Bible does say her condition worsened. And so she wasn't improving. And Luke 8:43 says this, no one could heal her. That's news for us here today. Can I give you some news here today? No one can heal you. Yes, medicine's good, doctors are good. But there is truly only one healer, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so we understand that if you're familiar with the law, if you've ever gotten through the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you know those books that we stop reading after Genesis and after the Ten Commandments, you will see that in the law it says if you have a bleeding issue, what are you to do? You are to be isolated. You are not allowed to be in the community. And so if this woman was a keeper of the law, then she was very isolated. She was a very lonely person. She was an individual that was considered unclean because of her issue. But she was driven to action, produced by desperation. We see that she suffered 12 years. We just went through all the things that she went through. And yet we see her still seeking the healing for her body. Desperation seeks the hope that God inherently imparts in people. How many know you don't need to be a Christian to have hope? People get up every day hoping that today is better than yesterday. Hoping that they'll make it through the day. So hope is something that God has put in our DNA as people. And how many know that as believers today, we can't even have salvation without hope? All two of you agree with me. Thank you. All right. People are I don't know why I put words in here I can't pronounce, but I do. Yeah. People are determined, right? People are resilient. That's it. I even put the brackets here with the pronunciation on it. Do you think it helped me? No. Thank you. All right. I'm speaking somebody's language. All right, you can help me. All right. People are what she said. All right? So she made it through 12 years of experimentation. All right? She was a survivor. And many of you are survivors as well, as you are continually working through things that are going on in your life. It's just built in us to survive. Life is not predestined, right? It is not predestined, but made up of choices that contradict our fears. How many times in our life have we had to push through fear to get what we want, to go where we need to go? God's compassion for me is greater than my underlining attitudes and fears. Hallelujah. I talked about four fears, and I'm only going to mention these. Fear of men, fear of making decisions, fear of failure, fear of speaking in public. You look at these, and if you're going to be a leader, you better get over some of these fears. If you're going to lead people, you're going to lead your household, if you're going to lead on the job, if you're wherever, if you're going to be a leader, you need to get past these things. And these are some of the things I told you that I wrestled with coming and being called into the ministry. I have had many missed opportunities because I've allowed some of these things to dictate to me. There are many opportunities, people coming and say, would you be part of this? Would you do this? Would you? And I would always say no. And some of you know where I'm coming from. Some of you know that fear has prevented you from stepping out of your safe zone, of your comfort zone, and doing things that maybe you're not comfortable with, maybe you've never done before. So we got to push past some of these fears. So improving our odds of overcoming our fears starts with that innate hope within us that God has put in us that drives us to desperation. This lady was desperate. There was a hope in her. She still had a hope of being healed. After being a victim of her doctors, she still had this innate hope within her that she could still be made well. And I hope that whatever you're going in, whatever you're facing, wherever God is leading you, that hope is a driving force in your life. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep pushing on. And that's what this lady did. So, desperation motivates us to action. But number two, we need to discover your breakout point. And I'll explain that here in a minute. Many are on their quest looking for a breakout point that will change their prospects. I call them windows of hope. I believe there are opportunities that come our way, and they're kind of small windows that if we don't take advantage of it, we can miss out. You know, those individuals that go to Teen Challenge, how many know those that get help are the ones who want help? We must want help. If you want to push through something, you've got to want it bad enough. This woman was on a quest that would intersect with Jesus. She only heard about Jesus. She had never met Jesus. She had never seen him in action. She just heard about him. And desperate situations determine desperate measures. Sometimes we've got to take desperate steps to overcome some things in our lives. Fear keeps people trapped in undesirable situations. And I shared some this week and last week of my history. This woman found the breakout point in Jesus. Was she seeking Jesus? No. What was she seeking? She was seeking a healing, a miracle in her life. And I believe that she received more than what she hoped for. I believe she received her healing, and I'm hoping that one day when we get to heaven, we will see her there. She developed a spontaneous plan to touch Jesus. Nobody knew Jesus' itinerary. The disciples never did. They just followed him. They probably scratched their heads. Why are we going there? Why are we going? We were just there. No, now we're going over here. Why are we going back to Judah? They want to kill you in Judah. Why do we want to go back there? They didn't know Jesus. They just followed. You see, Jesus just showed up on the shore. Jairus shows up and says, my daughter's dying. I want you to come to my house. And Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. Did she know that? No. But she heard the news. It was spreading faster than he was walking. She heard that Jesus was coming. And there was a large crowd that was pressing in on Jesus. How many know when somebody famous shows up? People show up, right? And we see in this story that there is a crowd of people, and we see, what does she do? She works her way, she squirms her way through this crowd of people, because in her mind, she's saying, if I can just touch his garment, I know I will be healed. That's pretty radical, isn't it? Let's explain the woman's situation through a Wall Street scenario. All right, for all you investors, this is for you. For all you that have a 401k and are crying every time you get your report, I can't wait till my quarterly report comes out this month to see how much I lost. Not hundreds, thousands, right? So let's explain this, what's going on in the life of this lady through this scenario. Breakout points on Wall Street are the times at which an underlying asset or stock, we'll use the word stock so we kind of understand what we're talking about, reaches a price level either high or low that exceeds its historic boundaries. So a breakout point is basically when there's a sell-off, okay? If it gets high, as we have seen in the past, people what? They go for that profit, they sell it off. And for those that are losing money and the stock market's tanking, what do? They pull their money out, right? And they take a loss. And so that's what these breakout points is all about, all right? And so they could be a high, they can be a low. But they exceed one way, either lower than the historic boundaries or above, okay? You understand where I'm from, right? So this woman had been living within her historical boundaries of sickness for 12 years. So for 12 years, on an average day, she was bleeding. It might have fluctuated more one day, less one day, whatever. Okay, she might have felt good for a little while and then. But there's an average that she was feeling. She's still bleeding by the time we get to this story. She's broke. and nothing could be done by anybody. And she was still seeking a breakout point. Think about it. She's still looking for a miracle, even though day by day she's experiencing the same things and nothing's changing. She's still looking for that breakout point. Let's go on with our definition. It says, any current event or news release that sends investors into a buying or selling frenzy could cause a breakout to occur. The simplest way to spot a potential breakout point will be to pay attention to financial news, which we sometimes do, and then conduct a technical analysis, which we never do, on any underlying stock that will be undergoing price fluctuations based on current events. Should the asset or the stock price already be near its historical high or low point, the chances of a breakout occurring based on recent events will be much higher. Whew. You got all that, right? That's exciting stuff. It's biblical, all right? So we are in officially a recession. How many know that? Right? No matter what the government says, we are in a recession, right? Meaning that people are selling stocks for a loss. A lot of people are panicking and getting out and trying to make save a little bit. And we are in a bear market. But how many know just a couple years ago, we were in a bull market where the stocks were way above the average and people were selling. Why? Because they're making a profit. And what do you do with the profits? You buy lower stock hoping that they'll raise up, right? That's kind of the way it works. That's why if you have a 401k, you have someone working behind the scene doing this for you instead of you doing it for yourself. So, Jesus was the current event of her day. He is the latest news, right? The miracle worker is coming to town. She hears it. And Jesus would be the cause of a breakout point for all those wanting to break out of their historical boundaries. So in that crowd, no doubt there were other people that wanted to connect with Jesus, to touch Jesus. We see Jairus, of course, because he's going to Jairus' house, right? And we see the woman with the issue of blood, right? But we also see a crowd that's what? Pressing in, touching, and wanting something from Jesus. He was the news that could cause a breakout, a positive breakout, for those that were in need. You understand where I'm at? All right. I know, because you guys are smart. All right. But it goes on and says, this does not mean that a breakout could not occur if the price is at its average, but the risk would be higher. Meaning that on an average day, as we walk with Jesus Christ, sometimes we're not experiencing some of the things that we want to experience. But there are moments in our times when maybe in a movement of God, what happens? God touches us and does something incredible. So on the average, a lot of us aren't experiencing maybe healing every day. Some of us may be worrying a little bit. Some of us are watching our circumstances and saying, oh, God, are you even there, right? So think about it. God can still work on an average day. But if you remember, I said at the beginning, there are windows of opportunities that come. And that's what we're talking about on these breakout points. That sometimes it takes more than just an average day. Sometimes it takes a special event, a special moment, a window of opportunity that I believe as believers we need to be sensitive to and to react to, or we miss the blessing of God. Many did touch Jesus, but only one was healed. Can I explain that? I can't explain that to you. All I can say is that this woman was desperate. It wasn't a hope so. Well, if I touch Jesus, maybe I'll get healed. She already had enough faith that if I touch him, I will be healed. How many know there's a difference in that kind of faith? See, many of us have enough knowledge of God to be dangerous, to hurt ourselves. Because it's not a hope so scenario with God. It's a I know so with God. And that's where we need to be. And she was at that point. Maybe the others were at that point where I hope something happens. I hope Jesus looks my way. I hope Jesus prays for me. I hope Jesus touches me. But this woman had a different attitude, as we talked about. When I touch him, something's going to happen. That's what faith is. It is the evidence of things hoped for. It's a fact before it's a fact. So, people were touching Jesus. This woman was healed. And I want to tell you today that touching Jesus can be a risk. It can be a risk. Because it'll change your life. You know, Jesus healed a blind man one time. Or was it a lame man? And he was kicked out of the synagogue. Could you imagine that? Being healed and kicked out of the church. Amazing. This woman was ready to respond to the opportunity to have a breakout moment. She reached out in faith and connected with Jesus. So up to this point, we are reminded of that Luke 8:43 again. No one could heal her. No one could do anything for her. So recognizing these moments of breakout points improves our odds of overcoming our fears. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here today so you understand where I'm coming from. How many know you can receive anything from God anytime? But I believe when God's people are together, there's just something about it. There's just something about that God moves. How many of you got saved in a group, in a church? How many got saved on your own, all by yourself? Okay, a number of you. But how many know there's windows of opportunities when God seems to be working and prodding your heart? Amen? How many sermons and how many altar calls did you sit through before you responded? Right? But there was that window of opportunity that came one day and you said yes to Jesus. Healing's that way too. Can you get healed anytime? Yes. You can be healed by faith. Yes. But how many know a lot of people are healed within a service? With people laying hands on them. With the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Right? It's windows of opportunity. Some people have been to the altar how many times to be prayed for? Over and over. And they still haven't received it. I encourage you, keep being desperate. Because that window of opportunity is coming. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. We went through a whole month of it just talking about it. And people received the Holy Spirit. Deliverance, right? Things and habits and things in our life that have controlled us. There's these windows of time. And so this was one of them. This woman took advantage. Jesus was coming down the road. And she wasn't about to pass it up. No one could help her. Jesus could help her. So number three, connect with someone who can change your circumstances. Can I tell you today, the only one who can help you 100% of the time is Jesus Christ. James 4:8 says, come near to God and what? He will come near to you. And so I want to encourage you. I want to contribute. Our ministry is to bring people to Jesus. Do you understand that? There is no substitute for Jesus. I am not a substitute. The board members are not. The worship team is not a substitute for Jesus. There is only one Jesus, and we are called to bring people to him. Jesus asked this question, who touched me? I love this. Who touched me? At once Jesus realized in verse 30, the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And I like this. You see the people crowding against you, his disciples, in this next verse. And if you read the other Gospels, guess who said it? Peter. All right? If somebody's going to say something, it's going to be Peter. All right? Peter answered and said, "Who touched you?" You got to be kidding. But Jesus kept looking around to see who done it. Hallelujah. Who? Jesus has a way of ministering to people in a crowd. Aren't you glad? One-on-one. It is amazing how God can touch some people in an audience and not others. I believe he wants to touch everybody. But I believe not everybody's in that place to receive what he has for them. It's those windows. So Jesus has a way of ministering to you here today in this house today. And he wants to give you hope. He wants to encourage you today that there is an answer for whatever you're seeking God for. It says in verse 33, "Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her," and listen to this, and we're going to look at this, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." So if we look at that verse 4, she not only just received the healing, she received much more. Number one, she received acceptance. He called her daughter. She was allowed to be part of the family once again. So there was a restoration. There was an inclusiveness in this that she's saying, hey, you've lived this life on your own. Now it's time to belong to this body. You are loved, daughter. The healing, of course, we see here, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Not only, I believe, physically was she healed, but I believe she was healed spiritually, that she was made whole. But he goes on and says, "Go in peace." How many know we all need assurance that what we receive from God is final? There are many that are not even assured 100% they're going to heaven, even though they say they accepted Jesus Christ. We have an assurance here today that if you have accepted Jesus Christ and you are living to the best of your knowledge, hey, you are on your way to heaven. You have a peace inside. You have an assurance inside. So he gave her a peace that, "Daughter, it's going to be okay. I've got you." He gave her an assurance, that peace that passes all understanding. And also, he gave her freedom. Could you imagine all the things that she felt inside? Of relationships that she might have had, relationships that might have been broken. We don't know anything about her family. We don't know anything about her friendship. And maybe she was even a little bit upset with God. How many of you would continue praying to God for 12 years hoping something would happen? We might get a little bitter. We might get a little bit hardened in our heart. We might begin to stop asking because, well, if he didn't ask 10 years ago, he's not going to answer now. But he brought freedom. So not only did he set her free from the bondage of this bleeding, but I believe he set her free on the inside. From all those questions, why? I must be doing something wrong. Maybe there's sin in my life. Maybe this, maybe that. Right? He set her free. So let me close. And I know you're excited. I know you wanted me to stay and preach longer, but I'm going to wrap up. I read something about from a professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University, and he tells this story. He says, "Whenever I am flying, I engage people in conversation. A confession is almost always forthcoming when they find out that I am a psychiatrist. A few years ago, before all the modern security measures were installed at the nation's airports, a man was sitting on a coast-to-coast flight, told me this. He said, 'You know, I used to be deathly afraid of flying.' It all started after the man brought a bomb on board flight to Denver to kill his mother-in-law. Could you imagine that? I could never get it out of my mind that someone on board one of the flights might be carrying a bomb. I asked, "Well, what did you do about it?" He replied, "Well, I went to one of those special schools for people who are afraid of flying, and they told me there was only one chance in 100,000 that someone would be on board my flight with a bomb." He said, "That didn't make me feel much better. The odds were still too close. But then I reasoned that if there was only one chance in 100,000 that one bomb would be on the plane, there is only one chance in 1 billion that two bombs would be on the board. And I could live with those odds," he said. So I asked, "But what good would that do?" He quickly replied, "Ever since then, I carry one bomb on board myself just to improve the odds." We don't recommend that methodology. But we're looking at this woman here this morning. This woman was infirm for 12 years. And it is a great example for us to improve the odds of obtaining the promises of God for overcoming the fears and some of the situations that we face in our life. Desperation drove her to action. Desperation has action with it. You're not desperate if you're not doing anything about it. There was a hope that was built in her. There was something that just drove her to continually want that healing in her life. She found her breakout point in Jesus Christ. We read in that scripture, no one could heal her. No one could help her. No one could do anything for her to relieve her of her situation. But a window of opportunity came her way. Jesus came to town. And she connected with Jesus. Church, our faith connects to Jesus. We are called to seek him out. Yes, I know that he comes to seek us and to save the lost. But once we're found, we have a responsibility of seeking him for everything. And I want to encourage you here today to connect with Jesus, the one who can change your circumstance. We've sung that song years ago, what he's done for others, he can do for you. What he's done for this woman, he can do for you. The good news today, the new news today, is that Jesus still heals. Jesus still delivers. Jesus still fills. Jesus still encourages. Jesus still helps. The problem is we've made it old news. We sit in service after service. We see it on TV. We listen to it on the radio through the music. And it's become old news. Yeah, I know that. I know that. I want to encourage you today. This is good news. This is new news. That wherever Jesus is, his power is, his Holy Spirit is, his miraculous ability is. And today, I want to encourage you. We're talking about pushing away fear. Maybe you're here today and there's some things in your life. Maybe it's physical today. Maybe it has nothing to do with that. Maybe it's eternal. I don't know. But I want to encourage you today. We would love to pray with you. Because today may be your window of opportunity that Jesus touches. All we can do is bring you to Jesus. Point you to Jesus. Pray with you to Jesus. But it's Jesus who does it. If you're away from the Lord, what an opportunity today. Another window of opportunity. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence, today is a great opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of God. If there's anything else you have a need of today, I encourage you. I invite you to come forward and let us pray with you. Let us anoint you with oil this morning.